Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good.
I'm still in Africa, and you actually chose a poem this week that has some relevance to me over here that deals with HIV and STIs, sexually transmitted infections. Before I do the introduction, I do want to remind listeners that all of the poems that we do here and then some are available in the AFP journal and on the AFP website.
That's right.
One of the things that we've always assumed is that sexually transmitted disease and HIV sort of hang together. They are approached similarly by those of us in primary care. Those at risk for one are clearly at risk for the other. When most of us encounter a patient who is at risk for HIV or STIs, we tend to spend a fair amount of time counseling them around risk reduction and prevention and making sure that they understand what put them at risk and how to prevent this in the future. We do this because it has face validity. It makes sense to us that if we counsel them, they may actually change their behavior. But does it really work? When we engage in counseling, do people take less risky behaviors and engage in less risky activities? The article that Mark found comes from JAMA 2013, volume 310, starts on page 1701. The clinical question that it's asking is does direct patient-centered risk reduction counseling of adults at the time of a rapid HIV test reduce subsequent acquisition of sexually transmitted infections? Mark, I sure hope it does. What did they find out?
Yeah, this is a really important question. The rates of sexually transmitted infections are so high in some communities, in some ethnic groups, in among adolescents, and any sexually active adolescent, as you well know, Mike, this is your area, is at very high risk for these infections. So,
can I interrupt for 1 second, Mark? I just want to make sure that listeners know that my area is adolescent medicine. It's not that I personally have great experience with sexually transmitted infections.
Well, I know you're an adolescent medicine doc. I thought everyone knew that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I've not had very many sexually transmitted disease infections in my life. Go on.
Yeah, we certainly wouldn't want to imply that at all.
Right.
But, this is really potentially really important public health implications. And certainly you would think someone coming in for HIV testing might be at risk. They themselves have self-assessed themselves at being at risk. So they randomized 5,000 adults who were presenting to STD clinics for rapid HIV testing where they would get the testing and the results at the same time. And they were randomized to either basic information, HIV is an infection, here's how you get it, versus about a 28-minute patient-centered risk reduction counseling. So everyone got the test. Some of them got 28 minutes of counseling. Some of them just sat in a waiting room reading old magazines, and then they got their test results. Patients were tested at baseline, also at 6 months for sexual risk behaviors and for the presence of infection. They had good follow-up. About 87% of participants were followed up at 6 months. And what they found was patients in the counseling group did have less unprotected sex with non-primary partners and a lower number of total partners. So that was some beneficial effect of the counseling seen there. There were no differences, though, in the incidence of STIs between the two groups. And when they did a subgroup analysis, they actually found among men having sex with men, they found significantly more of those men in the counseling group had an STI compared to those in the information-only group. So actually what appears to be a potential harm, 19% versus 12% had an STI. That was in the subgroup of men having sex with men. There were no differences in STIs for any of the other subgroups, women having sex with men or women or men having sex with women. So bottom line is that this program of 28 minutes of individualized patient-centered risk reduction at the time of a rapid HIV test did not really appear to reduce the risk of subsequent infections, and in the subgroup of men who have sex with men may have actually increased that risk a little bit. So not what we, I think, wanted to see or had certainly hoped to see. And we've looked at this. Mike, your thoughts on this? Did this surprise you a little bit when you saw this?
Yeah, it was very surprising. It's worth a moment or two of discussion. I don't have an answer for why it is. It may be that at that time there's so much anxiety and they're so distracted by wanting to know the results of their test that they're not able to absorb the information. Again, pure speculation on my part, but it does, cause huge concern. I mean, we're spending lots of time doing this, and this study suggests that it's really for naught.
Yeah, and this is one of the topics that's addressed by the USPSTF, and the literature has shown that there have been probably 20 or 30 studies on this topic, and the interventions have ranged from a few minutes to 12 hours, okay? So here you go, randomized you to 12 hours of STI counseling. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But what they found, what the study seemed to show, is that higher intensity interventions, especially in adolescents, so higher intensity being at least an hour or two of counseling, do seem to have a positive beneficial effect in terms of reducing infections, reducing pregnancies, things like that. The lower intensity interventions, and this one is kind of on the borderline of that, tended to show less benefit or no benefit. So this is a hard thing to do. I think the timing, as you said, may be important, and the amount of time and the intensity of the service that's being delivered, it seems to be really pretty important. And this is not an easy thing to do. The challenge is, so we have a section, you're a family physician, you're an adolescent medicine internist like you, and you have a sexually active 15-year-old, what do we do with them? How do we get them this high-intensity counseling? If we can get them a couple hours of counseling, it probably cuts their risk of developing an STI in half in the subsequent year.
Yeah.
So it's a big, from 20% to 10%, and that's a big benefit. Yeah. But how do you do that? How do you implement that in a community setting? We can't do that in our office, so that's the real challenge. There are some things that we know probably work, but they're very high intensity. No one's paying for them. They can possibly be delivered through the public health system, but that's going to be the challenge.
Right. So here's my intervention. I propose that we set up a 5-year trial that goes from the age of 14 to 19, where they're 24/7, 365 days a year in an educational program. They have no contact with anybody, and I bet we could decrease the rates.
I bet you're right. That's a great idea. We'll try and get that funded.
Exactly, exactly. Talk to you next week, Mark.
All right, see you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.